If you need to make any adjustments to tell yourself that now I'm meditating, then go ahead and make those adjustments to your posture or to your mindset. Probably the principle of which would be to say to yourself, oh, isn't it wonderful? When you sit, you don't have to go anywhere or do anything. The present moment comes to you. And if that gives rise to an enthusiastic relaxation of anything in the body or the mind, yahoo! Let yourself relax here. Be present. And see if you can just take a genuine interest into what is unfolding here all by itself. Maybe with half a mind that that unfolding could possibly include the experience of a body, some bodily sensations. We're going to do another kind of a so-called deep looking meditation. A little bit conceptual, so see if you can let yourself land in some place deep in your body where you can feel the breathing. Like the belly. Be concrete once you've picked a spot. And see if you can create a little container, a little clarity about your intention to connect with that spot. This would be the establishing of mindfulness. If you can take an interest, we're going to water the seed of investigation of phenomena, not the seed of, investigation of tomorrow's dinner. So, if there's like an element of interest in something else, somewhere else, you can just recognize it. You're like, oh, look, there's some interest here already. Take an interest in those sensations of the breath. Make it energetic. Make this breath the last page of a New York Times bestseller that you've stayed up until 1 a.m. because you've just got to finish it. And enjoy it. Relax into it. Awareness is peculiarly, very notably, interestingly, perfectly shaped to fit together with these sensations. So you don't need to force them together. Have a sense of ease there. We're going to shoot for steadiness. And we're going to shoot for equanimity. But I'm not going to belabor the point because we need to move. Now, this is going to be a meditation on the dependently originated nature of your beloved. So you have to pick a beloved. Just pick somebody who's still alive, if you please, somebody that you relate with, someone that you care about. There's no right person here. Just pick someone. You can work on your list of your top five best friends later. Just pick anyone who comes to mind. And the first thing is to just check and see what happens when you bring that person to mind? Is there a shift? Take an interest, allow that interest to show up for any possible changes. in the unfolding of the present moment with this person brought before the mind. Obviously, the person did not just walk into the room, so it's kind of interesting. You can go ahead and say the person's name to yourself silently. Ah. So and so. What do I mean when I say so and so? We'll just go through. This is an abbreviated meditation on the five skandhas external to you, but we'll be compressing things. Now, do I mean this assemblage of body parts that I see before my mind's eye? When I say so and so, my dear beloved so and so. Am I talking about the thing I can hug? I think we can kind of blast through this stage because I don't think anybody's going to be caught in this idea. But am I thinking about this person's kidney? Not going to be too, we're going to be too analytically violent here. But let's just say if this person had an organ transplant, let's say kidney transplant, it went well, don't worry. Would I feel that my label no longer fit? Well, okay, no. But let's say you're a scientist and you know that you can't do a brain transplant. You know, there are some organs that can't be transplanted without, disrupting your capacity to say so and so. Okay, let's take the brain for example. Well, when you say so and so, you're talking about a brain? Right, so you're not talking about a particular part. And again, I think we can probably pretty quickly dismiss with this. Are you talking about a set, a grouping of parts? Let me say so and so. Are you talking about like a logical grouping of currently perceptible body parts? No, I don't think so. Okay. How about the Constitution, what constitutes the body of your beloved? I think we can clearly see that if we took out all the water, we would have trouble. Our label, we wouldn't feel very good about our label. So does that mean that our label is a label for water? It's just kind of like the parts at a finer grain, right? We're not talking about the mineral composition. When I say so and so, am I referring to let's say an arrangement of molecules to just simplify it? My dear, your molecules are perfectly arranged this morning. Okay, then let's say it's not the parts, it's not the elements, but it's the fact that it's always the same body. You know, so and so's body. Now, how long have you known so and so? Is it always the same? Is it the same body all the time? Say, oh, but it's about something that's continuous between the changes. But we're going to switch tracks here for a second. We've investigated our beloved's body. Let's do the mind. We'll say, well, what I mean when I say so and so is the one who's so and so on the inside. Now, which particular thing on the inside are you talking about? The thoughts. When I say so and so, I mean the person who thinks like this. What about when so-and-so is asleep? What about when so-and-so is not thinking? Same thing with the feelings. Actually, all of our internal sites for the places where the name of the beloved would like to land, they're all troubled by deep sleep. Have you ever seen your beloved in deep sleep? Deep sleep, not REM sleep. Body is actually paralyzed. Breathes naturally and deeply. What part of your beloved's mind would you like to say is the part you mean when you say so and so in that moment? And then we'll say same thing with the body. Well, no, it's none of the particular things about the mind. It's that it's the same. It's always so and so's mind. But is it always the same? Similarity is not the same, right? If you see two trees that look similar, it doesn't mean it's the same tree. Okay, we'll do. The causal chain. The fact that there's a causal connection that runs through those changes that constitute the difference, right? Yeah, the body, it's not always the same, but there's a sequence. They're connected, they're giving rise. That's the thing that's, so and so. We'll start with the body. We'll go backwards in time, backwards, backwards. We'll just go to when so and so was an egg and a glimmer in a father's eye. Now, are you looking at these two people and immediately thinking, oh, my beloved? And if not, why not? Or we can follow that causal chain all the way back to, what do they say? Mitochondrial Eve. Mitochondrial Eve, the single common ancestor of all human beings. We all got our mitochondria from her. And do we, look at mitochondrial Eve and be like, oh, I am so and so. I am my beloved. Because the thing that I can call my beloved is the causal chain. And we extend from the same causal chain. Or we can run it forward. Hundred years, 200 years. Our beloved is trees, flowers, wind. And not only that, but right now, I myself, the part of the causal chain that coincided with my beloved, both myself right now and my beloved are also mostly trees, flowers, wind. I don't know. Probably ants. Ants, like massive amount of biomass in ants, earthworms, plankton. Okay, then we'll say the mental causal chain. So we'll say, no. My beloved is a mind. My beloved wasn't the egg. My beloved was the glimmer. The causal chain of mental events. Well, okay, we'll just say this. Have you spent enough time with your beloved that your beloved has rubbed off on you in some way? Have you ever said something that you picked up from your beloved? Now that's part of the mental causal chain of your beloved. Does that mean that you are your beloved? Let's say it means that you're at least a tiny bit, a little bit. You yourself are a little bit your beloved. But is that what you mean when you say so and so? Do you include that? Why not? All of the happiness that has flowed through your beloved into the community, into the world that manifests in other people's smiles, all of the suffering, all of the tension, the pain, the conflict that has been a part of your beloved's relational existence. And it's still living its own life out there. You know it is. You include that when you say so and so? Why not? My goodness, my beloved, how you've grown. So the name of your beloved is what we call a conventional designation. And in the words of Thich Nhat Hanh, we would say that your beloved inter is. Your beloved inter is with many, 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 many different manifestations. Very hard to pin down your beloved.